because I don't know. I'm tired of talking about porn. So we'll give it 5 minutes or less, and then go on to a totally different topic. Because everyone knows what I'm going to say anyway. So what I have to say is porn. Okay, so we'll just give 5 minutes. Is the yeshiva has been already for a number of years has a policy which has been very successful. I think everybody has found that it worked well for everybody, and that is that we've asked the guys no hard sticker, basically. On Twitter, it's been done in the last few years. You know, even if the guys bought, they should have bought it back from the guys. And I don't know, they could somehow manage to get rid of it. There's many, many, many reasons why. Not necessarily, I can tell you all of them. But just quickly, first of all, when with hard liquor, many people get much, much more drunk. They lose control. They don't realize how fast it hits them. They drink something and nothing happens. They get another cup and then, boom, in 2 seconds. Now, I say, well, I'm not like that. Okay, but even if you're not like that, there's such a thing as exera. If you, none of these problems will apply to. But if you do it, the other guy will do it. There has been many, 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 many people who got way, way too drunk on Purim. And the problem with that is, one is it's a tremendous siddur Hashem, especially we're here in the middle of a frum neighborhood, and it's a frum neighborhood but not necessarily people who are all of them grew up from, and they don't understand. And I know in the past there's been terrible siddur Hashem. There's someone that's a very important person in the community that I remember when I first came, I wanted to speak to them about the yeshiva. Rabbi Chaim said, no, you can't speak to them. They hate us because of Purim. You know, it's been a tremendous potential chil Hashem. It's potential sakana. Guys have done things, got them dangerous, or have guys do end up in the hospital. We had it even in our own yeshiva in Israel. We had it a few times. It's not. It's also dangerous for other guys. I've been attacked on Purim. It's not fair. It's not. It's, you know, you have to be a Baal Chesed. Okay, even if you are having the most fun of your life, what about the other person? What about the poor Rebbe who's going to be vomited on, which is not fun? You know, I had my office store 2 years ago was destroyed, and other yeshiva property was, you know, someone wanted to speak to me because I wasn't there. I was smart enough to lock my office to keep it safe, but you know, so the door was destroyed. Right? You know, there was lots, but that's common things. There are windows that are smashed. I don't know. It's magic, you know. What happens is when guys get really drunk, other guys have to take achrayas to watch them because it's dangerous. They can vomit in their sleep, and then some guys have to stay up all night. And it's really not, it's very inconsiderate. Why? Because you want to have a lot of fun, you know, so this guy has to suffer, he has to be achray for you. Anyway, I'm sure there's a bunch of other reasons. We ask the guys, you can get plenty drunk on other things if you want to get drunk. It just is a level that you don't go beyond usually a certain level, which means you have a little bit of control. In my opinion, it's much more enjoyable anyway, because if you know what you're doing, it's more enjoyable than a guy who after Purim, and you see a guy like this, says, tell me what I did. Like, you know, the whole enjoyment, you want to remember. So if you're, at least you're a little bit of something, you're still there a little bit, you can remember what you did. You know, but to get totally at this stage that you're sleeping on the floor in your vomit, I do not see why that simcha, and it's really not. So we ask very, very strongly, you know, please no hard liquor. We also have a few other rules. I think Rabbi Sharma will probably go through the rules. I don't remember what the rules are. We also ask in very, very strongly that there is certain, whether it's a Purim play or it's certain grammar that people have, please be very careful not to hurt other people's feelings. People are sensitive. I mean, you don't realize, you know, people, you know, you say, well, you know, it's people are sensitive. I know I have been the butt of certain Purim jokes, and not all of them did I appreciate. Even when I was a bachur in yeshiva, I was once the star of the Purim show, and it was very, very embarrassing. It was not a, they're not a Purim. My first year out of high school, I was the star of the play, and I was just, the reason why I really didn't appreciate it because I was dumb enough not to know that I told my parents to come to see the yeshiva's Purim play. It was really bad. Anyway, but it was in Israel. It was in Israel for a year. But the Maisa, it's people don't appreciate being made fun of, even if it's a joke, even if it's a gramin. You can be over and avera, malvin pnei chaver, but rabin is not a minor avera. It's one of the biggies, you know. So just because it's Purim don't mean that you're allowed to be over averas. You know, no such thing. Also, it's not on the same level of chaimer, but it's only a little. It's a deraisa, not, you know, big one, is that there is a shaida of being a filsilbash gever in Malbashisha. Mishpura does discuss it, some kind of hetera, but we ask the guys, what do we need it for? You know, there's every year that someone I have to throw out of the dance floor. Usually not from the Beis Medrash guys, from the high school guys, but they come and dress like, you know, a guy comes and dress like a zayner, you know. We had a guy, I remember, in Israel. He put on a bra and a shaito, and he shaved his legs. And this guy, he looked like a, you know, the biggest cruise in the world. But, you know, it's not funny, and it's not mutter, whatever it is. It's pashtus, it's not mutter. You know, there may be one now, you know, you wear a shaito, and you wear, you know, it could be Ami's mutter. But more than that, you know, anyway. We don't. It's not a mutter. It was general, very priestessic. We're dancing without, you know, without your shirt, whatever. No, you know, not in a priestessic way. You have to use yourself. There was a guy in Israel that dressed up as a terrorist on Purim. It also was not so smart. He could get himself killed. But there was a guy like that. Anyway, okay. What else? Any other Yisurim you can think of? We don't have the Yisurim on Purim. Okay, anyway, that's it. I don't want to talk more about Purim. Anyone has any questions, I'll be more than happy to talk to them about it. But I think guys know already what, you know, I think they know. Okay, I wanted to talk about a very, 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 very strange topic. Instead of talking about Purim, which is Nogeya de Maisa, I'm going to talk about something which is totally not Nogeya de Maisa. So why I want to talk about it? Because it's psychological. Because of course, like this, it's very often it's important that a person should have psychologically the right ideas. So years before it's Nogeya Lamaisa. Because when it becomes that way, when it becomes Nogeya Lamaisa, you have the right, you know, it's a trick. Rashira has a shmuzim like that, you tell a person something before it's Nogeya Lamaisa, this way it gets into his being, into his subconscious being, he's been thinking about it for years and he just takes it for granted. And then when it comes to Maisa, he does it. But if you tell it then when it's Bishas Maisa, so then he's fighting against all his preconceived notions that he never had before, and it doesn't work. Anyway, basically, I want to talk about, since, as everybody knows, Baruch Hashem, I was Zeicher to have another grandson. So I want to talk about children. Now, I did not know Gant, any of you people. But I think it's very, very important, in all seriousness. It's very important because the society that we live in has a very, very, very strong attitude that large families are barbaric. I don't know whatever other expressions you want to use, but they look down on you. I mean, I remember mamish cases when my wife was pregnant with my fourth child, people on the street would stop her and scream at her, "What are you doing?" You know, after that I moved to Israel, so it was okay. But in the Minnesota, America, it was in Colo, and you know, we had three children, and she was pregnant with her fourth, and without the strangers, give her muster. "What's wrong with you? You know, how can you do such a thing? What's wrong? Four children. What's wrong?" Right? It is definitely such a society in the world that they think for different reasons that you should not have large families. And that definitely enters into our way of thinking. So when a guy daydreams, right? People daydream about their future. So the guy wants to go into business. He daydreams about himself being a multimillionaire. Right? Now, it might not be realistic, but you daydream about it. You know, a guy daydreams about himself being the Gadol Hadar. Also, it might not happen. So when a guy daydreams about his family, what does he daydream? Does he daydream he's going to be a multimillionaire and have 15 kids? Or no, you know, he did. I mean, two or three little nice little, you know. I think the official American thing is, I think, 1.5 kids and a dog. I think that's a proper amount. Anyway, so I think it's very important. I really do think is to get into the brain at this time before it's nogeya, that what is the perception of what we would want. That we, you know, that we don't agree with American philosophy in this, and that, you know, that it's not nogeya. It is possible it'll never be nogeya to maitre because sometimes you don't have any, you know, there's not that much you can do, because many forms of birth control is halachically usur, because of the shaydas of zarat v'atala. You know, the American typical types of birth control is practiced. In America are not so bullshit that they're mutter. Many of them, if not most of them, are usher. But there is ways, you know, the Catholic way. Catholics also don't hold of any birth control, but they have their way. Birth control is to be abstention, I think. So that works, you know. Anyway, so that is, you know, there is some kind of ways that could be done. Halafi, that's obviously not what I'm coming to talk about. That's not nogeya. But the concept is, in theory, obviously if you don't have control, it's not nogeya. But in theory, what should a person's dreams be? It's just like it's important to dream about being a Talmid Chacham. Right? When you dream about being a Talmid Chacham, then it's much more likely that you'll get there. That's just the way it is in life. If a person who wants to be a millionaire, no one ever became a millionaire. I don't say no one, but cannot, unless he dreamed. I will, you know, he dreams about being a millionaire. And just that here too, you have to dream of Be'ez Hashem, you want to have a large family. Otherwise, you just, very possible that you won't. So, could be that even if you dream it, you know, you won't necessarily have. It's all beyond Hashem. There was very often in my house in Israel, and she said she, before she got married, she dreamed of having 10 kids, and she already had made up all the names for all 10 kids, and she only had one kid. Well, you know, just sometimes it happens, you know, some people, you know, just have, it's not necessarily beyond the other. And there are other people, you know, that they, you know, that they've been also not always beyond them. But it is important to have the perception. Anyway, that's the topic. Surely not Nogeya Maisa, surely not as exciting as Purim, but that's what I wanted to talk about. Too bad. Because I think it's important to talk about it sometime. I really do. And what could be a better week than had a baby, a grandson? Okay, anyway. The Maisa, why does the world say that it's not good to have too many kids? So the first reason is because you have to worry about the world. The world is overpopulated. Right? So I don't know about you, but my personal feeling about that is that my children or grandchildren are not the ones that are making the world overpopulated. Right? Now, if some of the people in China or in Africa or in Mexico or any of them, you know, if they want to have less kids to make the world less populated, or the Arabs, whatever, I really, you know, maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. I'm not trying to be, but I don't think that, you know, that my kids are going to be, you know, in other words, in all seriousness, the people on the lower level of society, whoever they are. Are anyway having all these children. That's where you're, if the world is overpopulated, that's where the overpopulation is coming from. Getting rid of a few of the more, whatever, I don't want to say culture, that's not the right word, is not going to solve the problem. So I don't even think anyone really believes that. That by their not having their one kid, they're going to save the world from overpopulation. I don't know. I think it's just an excuse. The second reason that people will say is that it's not fair for the kids. You know, you just have a limited number amount of resources, and this poor kid is going to be shortchanged. Right? You won't be able to give him new clothes and new toys, and because, you know, financially you'll be a little bit strapped. And also, you won't be able to give, how much love can you give? Your time will be divided. So it's just not fair for that poor baby. And it's not, how can you bring this baby to the world and not give them, you know, be able to send them to Yale or Harvard? And that's also pretty obviously not true. You know, so if you really believe it, so skimp a little bit on your own, yourself, and put away money for the kids. There's a great story about that. I think it's one of the greatest stories. That I saw this in the Rav Aryeh Levine book. That Rav Aryeh, there was a Chavre Knesset. Chavre Knesset means a member of the Israeli Knesset. That's the Congress. Who was the son of a woman who Rav Aryeh Levine was very close to. She was a poor woman, whatever. And she used to go to Rav Aryeh Levine a lot. Rav Aryeh was very close with the mother. And through the mother, he was close to the son, even though the son became non-religious. So there was a major vote in Israel, in the Knesset, on abortion. Israel being, of course, Jews. Are very liberal, and Jews have very liberal abortion laws because they're very liberal. But at that, there was a major vote, and apparently it was a very close vote. And this guy was one of his vote to make or break the law, whether it be passed or not, to allow abortion of whatever they want to be mounted in. So Rav Aryeh Levine went to speak to this person, which he had a connection to, that he should vote against legalizing abortion. So this guy gave Rav Aryeh, he was a sincere guy, and he gave Rav Aryeh a whole speech why he really believes that it's right. Here you have a woman who's not married, who's a poor lady, she doesn't have a job, she's pregnant, and, you know, and she doesn't want the child so much, and what is she going to do? She's a 16, 18-year-old woman, you know, and the poor child is going to be born in the world, and it's not fair for the child, and it's really not right for the child. You have to have considerate for the child, and for Karen, he's motivated, he thinks out chesed for the child, we should have the abortion. And just when he finished his speech, Rav Aryeh Levine says, "That's amazing. You're just like your mother. That's the exact same speech your mother told me when she tried to convince me to be mad to her to have an abortion for you." Wow. That's the story. So, in other words, if you ask a kid who's not born, would you rather not be born, or, well, you know, you're going to have to wear hand-me-downs. Oh, I'd rather not be born, you know. It's like, you know, come on. I can't, the poor kid is going to suffer so much, so, you know, I'm not going to let him be born, you know. Better that than he'll suffer. I think you ask a kid that he'd rather be born than suffer and go have hand-me-downs. Not so terrible. Okay, anyway, the main reason why people don't want to have more kids, obviously, they don't say it, they make up all these excuses, is because kids are work and kids are expensive. Maybe that's what they think. And therefore, I want to be able to go away on vacation. And I can't go away on vacation because I have these kids, wherever I go, they're tagging along with me. I can't go away for Pesach. I can't go away again. I can't go skiing. I can't go here. I can't go there. I have to work. I got to stay, 2 o'clock in the morning, they wake up crying. And kids can be a lot of work. So if they can be a lot of work, so therefore, I don't want. Right, that's it. Basically, it's selfishness. Even though they will not admit to it, they will make. That's why they have all these stupid philosophies, because they don't want to admit that they're being selfish. But the main reason why the world is into birth control and birth, you know, what's the right word? Planned Parenthood. That's the right word. Whatever it's called, is because they're selfish. We have a very, very selfish world, and very much into Gashmias, and they feel that it just takes away from my simchas achayim. So it's important that we have to relate to that shayla. So now, the first thing in a purity, I'm not sure the right order to attack it. I mean, if everybody agrees you have to have one or two kids, even these people, you know, just some, I don't, not everyone. Some people say no kids. But I don't think we're at that stage after worry. But okay, two or two, but not 20. So there's a big pirch on that. First of all, the Steiper said, I'll kill this bitofen, that there's no, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you the same tirda with two kids as with 10 kids. He says it depends on the kid. You can have one kid can give you tremendous problems, and one kid no aggravation at all. So I'll be talking, if you're on the Madrega, be talking. The Sacher says that he says that, and the Mice, he says that there is no difference. The person with 10 kids has the same, in the totality of life, Bitochen says you come up with the same territory. Hard to believe, you know, but that's Bitochen. Bitochen says Hashem works it out. In reality, it's not so crazy as it sounds, because anyone, if you speak to anyone who has large families, I think they'll tell you that it, practically, it's much, much easier when you have a large family. There are certain difficulties. Kids get sick, and there's more kids around, more around kids that get sick. But there are a lot of counter benefits when you have large families. Large families, kids entertain each other. And when you have one kid, you have to entertain them day and night. Anyway, you know, when you have two kids, they start entertaining each other. They play with each other. People that have one kid, they have to spend all day with their kids. Parents with one kid, parents with two kids, they entertain. Same thing as you go on. The kids usually, they keep themselves entertained. Older, once you get to a certain point, you have older kids, they babysit for the younger kids. It's not, and even as far as expense, they have the same toys and the same clothes. It's a lot of, it definitely gets much, much easier. That it, you know, every kid is much easier than the one before. I'll be derech hadavar. It could be some special situation, because it's just the way it works with the numbers. Okay, but the main reason why we say is, well, there's two main reasons. One main reason is that we disagree is that it's a tremendous mitzvah, and you have to just like, you know, a mitzvah. You have to pay, even if it costs money, you pay for it. It's worth it. Right? I remember, and this is a true story, I was in Israel, I don't want to mention who, not really Nogea. There was someone had a bar mitzvah, someone I knew, I think someone that you people know also, and the father of the mother of the bar mitzvah boy, the grandfather, spoke at the bar mitzvah. And he said, in looking back at my life, the greatest mitzvah that I did in my life was having this girl. You know, I think that's probably, it might have been her own, his only child, I don't know, but that, maybe his only child was frum. I don't think he wasn't such a frum person. You know, and that's probably true. You think about it. You know, that the greatest mitzvah that he did is, you know, he had a daughter, and she became a frum girl, and she happened to have had around quite a large family. You know, over 10 she had, you know, whatever it is. And there was a very chashuv family into a lot of kiruv, whatever. And she's daughter, you know, because al pi hashkafa, just like we hold in Harbatza Saira, you get a chedek and everybody, you know, everything that you wouldn't have happened if not for you. So if you make someone frum, you know, like you get a chedek in all their mitzvahs, that's the same thing is true with giving birth to someone. Right, those mitzvahs would not happen if you weren't there. If you didn't give birth to the child, those mitzvahs wouldn't be done. So all the mitzvahs of that child is to some extent given to you, and it's not just the child; it's the children, the grandchildren, the great grandchildren, the great grandchildren. So that's the ultimate pyramid scheme. Right? If a person has 100 grandchildren, or 110,000 grandchildren, or great grandchildren, you know, over the generations, you could have 10,000 or more, you know, then that's pretty amazing. I don't think so, because the Averis chart is I don't think it works to some extent, maybe, but I don't think so, because I think chart is the Averis, they didn't have to do them. Here's the mitzvahs, they couldn't have done the mitzvahs without your help. The Averis, I help, they haven't decided on their own to do the Aveda. You know, with, in other words, they needed, you know, there's a little difference there. It would have been, you know, I made it possible for them to do a mitzvah. I'm not sure. I think there's a difference. But the mitzvah, so hopefully your kids will be okay. Okay? Anyway, so that's definitely what I think. I don't want to say it's the world's greatest mitzvah, because there are probably some, you know, but it is way up there, right? We learned in the Tosfos and in the Pulpushir, right, that it's a mitzvah rabba, right? Mitzvah rabba, remember? So what does that mean, mitzvah rabba? It means that Chazal, Rei, or Mishayer, and that was for Shabbos, right? That was for Shabbos Kaldu, right? I think so. Which means that Chazal, Rei, Mishayer, that this mitzvah is greater than other mitzvahs. It's definitely one of the greatest mitzvahs. You know, we don't exactly know which mitzvahs are greater than others, but definitely, because we know from Chazal, this is considered one of the greatest mitzvahs. So, it's pretty good. The second thing, so one reason why it's worth it is because it's a tremendous scar. The second reason, which is probably the most important thing to focus on for ourselves, and this does bring us a little bit to Purim, I like that, is that we believe that also having children is really the greatest pleasure in this world. Now, what does that have to do with Purim? It's because there's a basic machlekes between us and the Goyim in what means happiness. Right? According to the Goyim, happiness is getting drunk. But in seriousness, the happiness we believe a person, for example, you have Rav Schechter told me a story. This was not the point he was trying to bring out with the story, but he told me the story. It was an amazing story. He said he was standing. I told this story maybe probably last year. That guy's probably heard it already. But he said he was standing in the yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. It was in the summer. It was on a Friday, and there was one of the chashuva members of the yeshiva, the kola, whatever, was going up to the country for Shabbos Sunday. He says he's not out to say weekend because Hutner was very much against the word weekend, because Shabbos and Sunday don't have anything to do. They have no, don't blend into one. Right, Shabbos is called, and he can't make one day out of it. But okay, he was going up for the Shabbos Sunday time to be in the mountain. So he's getting into the car and whatever, and then there's another guy standing there, and he says, "Bye, have fun." So Rav Aaron Schechter says, "I was shocked. What an insult. You think I'm a baby? I'm going to have fun? You should tell me, have a healthy time, have a productive time, have a restful time. But what fun? Fun for babies." Right? Which means, now, I have to admit, I could have seen myself saying have fun. So. But the nice of the concept, I can hear, the concept is that happiness, we don't believe it's the President of the United States. Right? He works very hard. It means he's not having fun. It means the guy who goes ahead and is unemployed and he's able to party all day, he has more fun than the president. It's not true. We believe that happiness is not stemming from partying. Happiness comes from accomplishments. When a person feels he accomplished something, he is happy. When a person feels that he partied all day and he just wasted time, he is unhappy because you just wasted your life away. When a guy feels he wasted his life, that causes unhappiness. Right? We believe that, you know, the American belief that you're supposed to 5-day week and you're supposed to retire when you're a certain age, that's, you know, Torah is all against that. Torah, for a guy who doesn't work, takes a day off, he's chayav misa. It's a chazal, a different shatim maybe. But pasha pshat, goyish shavas is chayav misa. He's supposed to adam la'amo yudan. But we believe that's also happiness. When a person feels, Baruch Hashem, I accomplished something with my life, I did something, then you feel happy while you're doing it. When a person's sitting around doing nothing, He's lying in the, you know, that doesn't, now, okay, me camping, it doesn't mean you don't, people don't need rest. Everyone needs a vacation and you need a rest and you need a time to relax. But that isn't the goal of life. That's not what makes happiness. That's, you need that for a spice. You know, you need that for an occasional, you know, but to say that a person who has nothing to do all day and has a meaning that his life is happy, we don't say that. So therefore, that's getting back to our point. Let's say, for example, you know, saying like this, a person having a family is a great deal of tircha. So that's the greatest happiness, because you sit back at some point and you feel you're accomplishing, you're doing. You see nachas, right? That's happy. That's real happiness. Not the happiness because, oh, I can go to the movies tonight. Anyway, therefore, for numerous reasons, we do not accept this, the world's hashgafa. And you gotta get it knocking into your subconscious brain. So it's no gaya la maisa, it'll be no gaya. Okay.